And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
I am doing good. I'm doing good. So, Parshat HaShavua, we didn't talk about the Parsha for a long time.
That's right. I think the last time we spoke about it was Hanukkah and winter break.
We have good events. Good events.
That's right. Good to be back on, and it's good to talk about our weekly segment of the Parsha, which this week's Torah portion is Vayechi, which is also the last Torah portion of the book of Bereshit, of the book of Genesis.
Yep.
So this week we will be finishing the first book of the five books of Moses, where we will say Chazak, Chazak, Menis, Chazek.
Yep.
And what do we see in this week's Torah portion? We see how Jacob, Yaakov, Joseph's father, lives the final 17 years of his life in Egypt. And before he passes away, before him passing, he asks Joseph, his brother, who is obviously the viceroy and the person in charge of Egypt, to take an oath that he will bury him in the Holy Land, you know, obviously when all the Jews go up.
Yeah.
And he blesses Joseph's two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, the same blessing that a father gives to their children on Friday evening. And everyone knows the story. He changes his hand, so on and so forth. And he blesses all the tribes of Israel. And not only did Yaakov die in this week's Torah portion, we also see that Yosef dies in this week's Torah portion in Egypt at the age of 110. And a large funeral procession consisting all of Jacob's descendants and Pharaoh's ministers and so on and so forth accompany Jacob. And he's obviously his final resting place is in the Holy Land, where he's buried in Maarat HaMachpelah.
Yep.
Which is in Hebron. Yes, correct. So, you know, I was learning yesterday, it's very interesting because the Talmud, the Gemara, relates very interesting in the following episode, and it goes like this, that when our father Jacob, Yaakov, was on his deathbed, surrounded by all his children, he suddenly felt that the divine presence, the Shekhinah, the glory that was always on him, departed from him. And he was overtaken, you know, by fear and dread that one of his children present at that time in the room was living in an immoral life. And that is why the Shekhinah had left him, the glory left him. So the old father confronted his children, as the Gemara says, asking if perhaps one of them has corrupted his way.
Made something wrong.
Right, betraying the values that Jacob had attempted to depart to them. And his sons responded, as the Gemara continues, with the most famous Jewish declaration of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Listen, Israel. Jacob's name, everyone knows, was changed to Yisrael. Right? And he says, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Just as in your heart there is only one, so too in our heart there is only one. And at that moment, Jacob responded and said, Baruch Shem Kol Malchutei Olam Ve'ed, blessed be the honorable name of his kingdom forever and ever. So, that was the response. Now, that's the Gemara. The Gemara explains, which I thought was something so fascinating, that children can have a tremendous effect on their parents, and the parents, obviously, on the children, but only in a certain way. So, their response raises a very interesting question. Let's listen. What did they say? They said, just as in your heart there is only one, so too in our heart there is also only one. Well, that statement is really, really extra, because we know, no one's arguing, that in Jacob's heart there was only one God. There's nothing up for discussion. No one suspected that Jacob was losing his heart and his faith. The question was, what is going on in their heart. All they needed to say, because Jacob said, what is going on in your heart? And all they needed to say, listen, Father, in our heart, there's only one. That's simple. That's all they needed to say. So, the answer, really, if you think about it, that in their, in the very expression that they said, they encapsulated, I think, one of the greatest themes of education. Because the first half of this sentence was not extra. Jacob's children were explaining why their father need not fear about his children's moral destiny.
Yeah.
Jacob, our father, if there is one in your heart, the children told their father, as the Gemara says, you can be assured that in our hearts too, there is only one. Because children are the mirror of their parents' heart. They're not a mirror of their parents' word. Because since in your heart there was one, our heart is also saturated with the loving God. Now, all too often, I hear this all the time, you know, parents think that they can impart values to their children without internalizing these values in their own daily life. They teach their children about integrity and about faith and about discipline, but they do not necessarily embody these principles themselves. They preach of one God, but that one God does not challenge them in their personal life. They will speak up against, you know, anger, animosity, envy, selfishness, but they themselves fall prey to these traits. And this usually does not do the trick. Children do not respond to what the parents say as much as to what they are. Values, I remember reading somewhere, I don't remember where, but values are like coal.
They're stay caught. Forever.
Right. They're not taught. And if in your heart there is one, in his heart there will also be one. When your child experiences consciously and subconsciously your purity and integrity, it is likely that the values that shape the parents will continue the lives of their children. Now, it may take time, some years, or sometimes decades, but the seed planted by your heart in the hearts of your children will produce the results. And I think the connection over here is, you know, there was a famous study regarding the transmission of values from parents to children, and the following question was asked of many children: what do your parents want you to be when you grow up? Rich, smart, famous, or good? And most of the children from a variety of demographic and cultural sectors ranked rich, smart, or famous as most important.
Yeah.
And the characteristics that ranked the lowest was being good.
Hmm.
Now, ironically, parents across the same sectors responded that they favored good as a preferred characteristic of their child. Why was there this disconnect between the desire of the parent and the perception of their children? And I believe strongly, and I think this is what the Torah, this is what the Gemara is telling us, the answer may be that preaching to children demands parallel practice by the parent. True goodness is not taught in books. It is not transmitted by you know, saying things.
Yeah.
It's transmitted by a living example.
Yeah.
Parents may tell their children that when they want them to be good people above all, but what are the children experiencing from their parents? Do the parents place goodness above all their comfort? If you want to touch the heart of your child, you have to make sure that your own heart was touched first. And work not just on your conscience, but also on your unconscious identity. Because children often respond to the unconscious of their parents even more than to their parents' conscious self. And I think this was the message of Yaakov's children to their father. The reason there is in our heart only one is because our heart reflect a mirror of your heart. And in your heart there's only one. Same thing as by us. Because he lived it. He didn't just speak it. So if we want our kids, our children, to live the life that we see as an important through ethics, through values, through goodness, through kindness, through Torah, through godliness, through spirituality, if we don't live that way of life, even if we don't live that way of life, but we see that it's an important part of our life, if we value Judaism, we may not keep every Torah and mitzvah. We may not do everything that God wants us to do. But we know in our hearts and our mind, it's part of us. It is who we are. And the children see that, it will become part of their life. If we just talk and talk and talk and talk, children can see through it. It doesn't work. It doesn't exist. And I think that's a very important lesson that we can learn all today, specifically what goes on in the world today. The kids are all surrounded by negativity, by darkness, by materialistic things are the most important thing.
I agree.
Let's try and teach our children the correct thing. But we need to make sure that we live by that. If we live by that, then your children will live by that as well.
Personal example.
I remember, I always tell my kids, my kids always tell me, you know, this happened or this, you know, or maybe I should this, or maybe I should, you know, whatever it is. And I always tell them, I said, the most important thing for me and your mother is that you're kind and you're good.
That's
everything
it.
Else will fall in. And I know just speaking is not enough. We have to try and act like that as well. So I think that's a very important message.
It is. Rabbi, what about the services this weekend?
We have services Friday evening, and then at 5 o'clock, and then Shabbat morning is at 9:30, and Sunday morning is at 8:30, followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday is at 7:15, followed by, you're out by 8 o'clock, you can go to work on a great note. What a better example you give for our kids.
Yeah.
They see that it's true, is important.
And what about the students? Are they back from the vacation?
They are back this week, and
yeah.
We have a big Friday night Shabbat dinner, so we're back in full swing.
That's it. Rabbi, thank you for your interview, and I'm waiting forward for next week.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Ilan.
Thank you. Shabbat
Shalom,
and good weekend.
Yeah. You too. Bye-bye.